ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 22 वर्स 31। कुशाकाश्मयं बहरीर अस्तिर्या भगवान मनुः अस्तिर्या भगवान मनुः अयजत् यज्ञ पुरुषाम् अयजद्यज्ञपुरुषम् लब्धस्थानं यतो भुवम् लब्धस्थानं यतो भुवम् कुशाकाशमयं बारीर् अस्तिर्य भगवान् मनुः अयजद्यज्ञपुरुषम् लब्धस्थानं यतो भुवम् कुशाकाशमयं बारी आस्तिर्य भगवान् मनुः अयजत् यज्ञपुरुषम् लब्धस्थानं यतो भुवम् व्हाट फॉर मीनिंग कुशा ऑफ कुशाग्रास काशा ऑफ काशाग्रास मयम मेड बारही असीट आस्तिर्य हैविंग स्प्रेड भगवान द ग्रेटली फॉर्चुनेट मनुः स्वयंभुव मनु अयजत वर्शिप्ड यज्ञ पुरुषम लॉर्ड विष्णु लब्धा हैड अचीव्ड स्थानम द अबोड यतः फ्रॉम हूम भुवम द अर्थ ट्रांसलेशन मिशल प्रोपर मनु स्प्रेड अ सीट ऑफ कुशास एंड काशास एंड वर्शिप द लॉर्ड द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड बाय हूज ग्रेस ही हैड ऑब्टेन्ड द रूल ऑफ टेरेस्ट्रियल ग्लोब एवरीवन कैन रिपीट Manu spread a seat of Kushas and Kashas and worship the Lord, the personality of Godhead, by whose grace he had obtained the rule of the terrestrial globe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Manu is the father of mankind, and therefore from Manu comes the word man, or in Sanskrit, Manushya. Those who are in better position in the world, having sufficient wealth, should especially take lessons from Manu, who acknowledged his kingdom and opulence to be gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus always engaged in devotional service. Similarly, the descendants of Manu or human beings, especially those who are situated in a well-to-do condition, must consider that whatever riches they have are gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those riches should be utilized for the service of the Lord in sacrifices performed to please Him. That is the way of utilizing wealth and opulence. No one can achieve wealth, opulence, good birth, a beautiful body or nice education without the mercy of Supreme Lord. Therefore, those who are in possession of such valuable facilities must acknowledge their gratefulness to the Lord by worshipping Him and offering what they have received from Him. When such acknowledgement is given, either by a family, nation or society, their abode becomes almost like Vaikuntha, and it becomes free from the operation of threefold miseries of this material world. In the modern age, the mission of Krishna consciousness is for everyone to acknowledge the supremacy of Lord Krishna. Whatever one has in his possession must be considered a gift by the grace of the Lord. Everyone therefore should engage in devotional service through Krishna consciousness. If one wants to be happy and peaceful in his position, either as a householder or citizen or member of human society, one must promote devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pri Manchakalpatruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarine Hare Krishna. Seeking blessings of Aniruddha Prabhu to speak on this subject. Prabhu, can you reduce the volume? It's too high. This is in continuation with the journey of Swayambhu Manu when he is returning to his kingdom, and after he came to his kingdom in yesterday's verse, then today he took a seat made by Kushas and Kashas grass, and then he worshipped the Lord. So Prabhupada in the purport is elaborating on few points, but he begins by explaining how Manu, who had a very important role for many of us to play, was setting a very high example, very good example of being very grateful to what he has received from the Lord, the gift he has received from the Lord. So, of course, Bhagavad Gita says, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas. So whatever a great man performs, action a great man performs, common men follow. So Swayambhu Manu, being the ruler of the whole planet, was setting a very high example for general masses to follow, where all the opulence, all the fame, all beauty, as Prabhupada says in the purport, he does not think that it is by his own strength or his own personal credits he has attained that high position. So he is very grateful for whatever Lord has provided him. And then, but it's interesting, unless one is grateful to what Lord has given him, he will not even bother to sit and worship the Lord. Because for him, his own strength, which is karma mimamsa, his own power, his own strength, his own workings have got him in that position of opulence. But here Swayambhu Manu shows by his example that he understands that where it has come from and whom it belongs to. So it's very encouraging even in today's society. I was just doing some research where materialism is so rampant, atheism is increasing. There are still many famous personalities, whether it's in Western world or in India, who at least in their personal lives or in front of media, they acknowledge that their success, their opulences are God-given. So I was just going through some examples who are at least popular in Western world. Some famous Hollywood actors, actresses, singers, movie makers, some names like Tom Hanks, Jessica Simpson. They say, this is a very interesting statement, they say, while receiving an award, he said, first of all, I want to thank the person because of whom I am getting this award. So at least in public, he has that acknowledgement that his career achieved or reached success because God is there in the picture. And then, of course, very famous Oprah. She very boldly says, I mean, she multiple times she said that from very childhood, I knew I'll be successful because I know God is with me. And she's pushing this idea in public's mind that how spirituality or being God conscious is so important, because see how I am so successful, and this is the reason. She doesn't give any second reason, at least in public, that why I am so successful. And also, like yesterday, Gangesha Prabhu was talking about Muhammad Ali, who initially was in a understanding that yes, he is the greatest, he is very powerful, and later by Lord's arrangement, his own karma, he comes to understand, or whatever the reason can be, that yes, God is actually the greatest, not me, and whatever success or fame I have is a gift by the Lord Himself. So in India, most of us, we know Prabhupada also quotes him, the families of Birlas, very aristocratic rich family, they are multimillionaires, they have a whole the whole mood. There are so many temples which this family has built across India, especially many Krishna temples and other temples, and so many charity work they are doing. And publicly also, they openly say that we understand that our wealth, our opulence is maintained and provided by the Lord Himself. So there are many famous Birla temples, especially Krishna temples, they have made. Even in Delhi, there is one in South India. So they are undergoing some charity projects, one of which is to practically renovate or provide basic facilities to ancient temples. These are like one of the most famous rich people in India. They have charity organizations where all the pilgrims are taken care of in certain places. Of course, they do other philanthropic activities also, like mass marriage in villages, those who cannot afford, and then feeding the poor, and so many eye camps, eye treatment camps, and so many things. But of course, this understanding that yes, it's not my own prowess which has brought me to this stage, or my whole family or dynasty to this stage of such opulence and richness. So then naturally, because of that gratitude, there is a feeling of giving it back to where it has come from. Otherwise, artificially, it's very hard to give year after year after year, unless a person has that acknowledgement or that attitude that yes, it has come from the Lord and I have some role to pay back. Very hard to force someone or encourage someone to do that unless this point is clear. If you talk to someone about donation, if they cannot understand this basic point that the Lord has provided it, it's very hard for them to even give donation. And that is why atheists and all, they feel that this is waste of money when money is spent on temples. Movies are made to practically counteract the idea why they are putting milk on shivling, because it's waste of resource, it's waste of money. Why so much money is spent in temple? Why so much gold is being is not used and it's just kept in temple treasuries? In India, they found billions of dollars of gold in Padmanabha temple. So it's very hard for someone who has a mindset or understanding that it has not come from God, but it is our own strength which got us to this level of opulence. Very hard, very difficult for them to even figure out what is the need of charity or donation, especially towards temple or a religious purpose, or why there is a need to acknowledge God. Krishna also used this similar philosophy when Nanda Maharaj was performing Govardhan Indra Yajna, and Nanda Maharaj gave an argument that Indra is giving us rain, and it's our duty to pay him back, at least in our reciprocation, our gratitude towards Indra for providing rain, because if there is no rain, then there is no grains, and there is no grains, then how can we feed the cattle and get the milk? Krishna gave similar philosophy that it's our own prowess, it's our own endeavor which makes things happen. But of course, he had a different plan in his mind. He was not like an atheistic person speaking. He wanted Govardhan Puja to take place because he wanted to establish a principle that even Indra is under the control or jurisdiction of the Supreme Lord. And if Supreme Lord, the root, is worshipped, then there is no need to worship even Indra. So, even though these examples which I've just mentioned are given, which are very famous people who affect the masses in any given statement, they make thousands are affected. If Oprah speaks something, then thousands are affected by her statement. Still, this is not the primary activity they are engaged in. Even though they may be grateful or they acknowledge whatever they have, their primary engagement is not in a judgmental way, but it's either sinful or to say it the least, is binding, even if it is a pious activity, to the material world. But whereas the whole purport, Prabhupada is taking that same similar activity on a very higher level of pure devotional service, where he is not just leaving it to the level of acknowledgement. In purport, Prabhupada says that one should especially take lessons from Manu, who acknowledges his kingdom and opulence to be gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he makes a very revolutionary statement, at least on this point, and thus always engaged in devotional service. So, if someone has to be always engaged in devotional service with all the opulence and everything he has, very hard for this given list of famous people to do. Unless they come in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord who brings a change in the heart. Even further, Prabhupada says that those riches should be utilized for the service of the Lord in sacrifice performed to please Him. So now, again, a very high standard to please the Lord. Action done for the Lord's pleasure. So many people in India, they perform, not even in India, around the world, they perform great charities, great religious actions, activities they do, but very few do it for the pleasure of the Lord, because there are so many attached motives. If someone has some understanding of next life, then his goal is to attain a better life in next life, and then he makes some donation to temples or charities or some religious activities he do. If not, then to make a public statement or to appear in public and speak like that, then a motive is to become more famous or to promote their own faith in public. So to please the Lord is something which is very advanced stage. Whereas, of course, we know Srila Prabhupada's own example. He also wanted to become rich, very wealthy, Of course, if he becomes rich, he would be very famous. Like he even once said that, I would be like Birla's, or if I would have continued and attained success in my pharmaceutical business. But his motive or his whole goal was to fulfill the last two lines of this purport, where he says in the purport, if one wants to be happy and peaceful in his position, either as a householder or citizen or a member of human society, one must promote devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord. So his whole purpose, his whole idea of attaining so much wealth and attaining that position was to promote devotional service, and that also for pleasure of the Lord, not to just increase the numbers of people who follow his similar faith, or not to gain political strength by increasing the numbers, but had a very clear understanding that why he has to make money to print books on the instruction of his spiritual master, to promote devotional service for the Lord, to promote bhakti, and no other motive. Of course, Krishna had a different plan, which gave Prabhupada all the wealth and opulence and fame in a completely different way. But he did get what he wanted. So, very hard for common man to even figure out how to come to this platform of devotional service beyond any selfish motive. Very difficult. Unless he is favored by that person who is operating on that same platform. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita 10.4 to 5 verse, in that purport, Prabhupada gives a very amazing statement. Not one statement, many statements. But he says, one should not spend one's time pondering over earning money. That is a misuse of thinking power. The mind should be used to understand the prime necessity of human beings, and that should be presented authoritatively. Then he makes the very important statement for what we are discussing. The power of thought should be developed in association with persons who are authorities in the scriptures, saintly persons and spiritual masters, and those whose thinking is highly developed. So Srila Prabhupada is giving a solution for how to come to that understanding or that level, which is for some people it's weird. Why you need to do that also? Very difficult to comprehend the platform of pure devotional service for even many so-called religious people, wherever they are from. That everything I do, there is no motive for me. There is no return for me. I just have to do it for the pleasure of the Lord. Very difficult. Personally speaking, I would say, taking my own example, very hard. Very hard to come to that level of doing everything for the pleasure of the Lord. And that's why, while I was reading this purport from Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada says that one should develop this type of thinking power in association of those who are authorities in scriptures, saintly person or spiritual master. While reading only, I was feeling that I need to again go through Lilamrit, read it again and again and again, to know his personal life, to read Prabhupada's, to hear Prabhupada's conversations, lectures, directly read his, of course, his books we all have to read. To know him as a person, because he's one of the examples, not just the only example, but one of our special example to show this particular, to get us to this level of pure devotional platform, where spiritual life is not just blocked or restricted to being just a religious, sentimental person. There's a funny story, but it's a real story. But that tells us how it's important for all of us who are in ISKCON following Srila Prabhupada's instruction to know him as thoroughly as possible. This is a real story, funny though. In Vrindavan, there was a group of devotees who would go out on Sankirtan on bus, and one brahmachari that time, now he's a sannyasi, he was leading the group. And then suddenly after 15 to 20 days of travel, one man came to him and asked him, in front of all your books, it says A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. What does that A.C. means in that? He told Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami. Then he said, do you know one of your brahmacharis? I asked him this meaning. And he said he's almost from last 10 years distributing books. He's doing Sankirtan. He's a devotee. I asked him, what is the meaning of A.C. Bhaktivedanta? What is the A.C. in that? He said, oh, our spiritual master Prabhupada would always travel in a car which had A.C. and would always live in the rooms which had A.C. So he would always live in... This is a real story. Yeah? I've directly heard it. And... always there was air condition wherever he was. So he has put AC in front of his name. And he was not joking. So, I thought that he needs to know at least some Leela, some just an example that he's 10 years he's a devotee and then he doesn't know even full name of Prabhupada. So what to speak of his mood, his life, his goals he wants us to achieve, the whole theme of Krishna consciousness, what he's established. So I felt it was really pretty funny reply. Now in purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks that no one can achieve wealth, opulence, good birth and beautiful body or nice education without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And we see in Bhagavatam, in Kunti Maharani's prayer, she speaks a similar verse, but the context is different, where she says, Janmashwarya Shuta Shibi Edamana Madhapuman Naiva Arti Avidhatum Vai Tom Akinchana Gochara. Prabhupada is saying, for these persons, those who have Janma Aishwarya Shuta Shibi, which is high birth, opulence, beautiful body, education, one cannot achieve without the mercy of the Lord. So these people who have these possessions, possession of such valuable facilities, must acknowledge their gratefulness to the Lord by worshipping Him and offering Him what they have received from Him. So this is one side where Prabhupada is saying in the purport that these people who have achieved all these opulences must worship the Lord, understanding that it has come from the Lord. And then later in the same purport he says that then only they can become free from the operation of threefold miseries of life, if they can acknowledge this has come from the Lord. Whereas Kunti Maharani says that, this is a translation of that verse, he says, my Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached by only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So, Prabhupada is actually in the purport, he's establishing a point that actually speaking, these things makes it more difficult for a person to approach the Lord. But if they want to approach, if they want to spiritually progress, it is necessary for these people who have these opulences must acknowledge that the Lord is the proprietor and provider of all these facilities which they have got. Otherwise, very hard to come out of the threefold miseries of material existence, like he says in the purport. So, even in that purport of Bhagavatam, where Kunti Maharani's prayer is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada is encouraging to exhaust, to not be too much attached in increasing these opulences. Unless one knows the art of utilizing these opulences in service of the Lord, like Srila Prabhupada wanted wealth, or if someone is very famous, a favorite example of George Harrison, who was very famous, he used his money and fame to spread Krishna consciousness. So many devotees came because they were influenced by George Harrison's example. So for this verse, we'll stop also today. There is Nirjala Ekadashi. Once a year this special Ekadashi comes, which is also called Pandava Ekadashi or Bhimsen Ekadashi. Just little explanation on what this Ekadashi is, why it's there and why we follow it. Story comes from Mahabharata, where Bhim is known as a voracious eater. In Bhagavad Gita also he is called Vrikodhar, whose belly is so voracious that he can eat beyond our conception. So he could not accept or follow that I have to fast every fortnight because of Ekadashi. And he approached Vyasadev that it's very hard for me to fast. I just cannot not eat. I just can't do it. So Vyasadev quoted him from one of the instructions of the Lord, which Vyasadev got from the Lord, saying that if someone cannot fast on Ekadashis, which we all should, but Bhima was a different category, then at least this one Ekadashi, which is Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi, he should keep a complete fast, even abstaining from water. That was the instruction for Bhim. Then he can get the benefit of doing all the Ekadashis throughout the year. So then it satisfied the need of Bhim, because he could not fast on any of the Ekadashis. There is one interesting story from Mahabharata about Bhim, when they were in the village with their mother. They were hiding from the Kauravas. After the house of Lakh was burnt, they ran away. And in that village, there was every month there was a cannibal demon Bakasura, and every month they would send one family member with a cart full of food. Cart full means like it's like a truck full of food with that man, and that Bakasura would eat the man, eat the food, eat the bull also. But for 1 month, he would not eat again. So after 1 month, they will again send a similar offering to that Bakasura. And the family in which Pandavas were staying, the turn came from their house. And then the story, I'll just cut short, that Kunti Maharani heard them crying, and then she asked Bhim to go. And Bhim was so voracious eater that means what Bakasura would eat once, and then after 1 month he would eat not the human and bull but the cart full of food. While going there itself from the village, while he reached to the place where Bakasura was there, he finished most of the food in the cart while traveling. And then until he finished whatever was left over, he was blocking Bakasura with his left hand and he was eating with his right hand whatever was left over. So that was Bhim. So that's why Vyasadev gave a special instruction for Bhima. And for us the instruction is, if by mistake we break any Ekadashi, then of course one should follow this Nirjala Ekadashi as it says on the calendar. So, but the whole purpose of Ekadashi is that whatever energy time is saved from by less eating or not eating is utilized for more chanting, reading and spending time in temple or doing some service. So special day, many devotees, they do so many things, extra rounds, take some service in temple for this day. So I'd like to stop here and see if any comments, correction or question is there. Manu, father of humankind, he is appointed that position by Lord Brahma. Like there are many different Manus. So the current Manu who is ruling the planet where this section is being spoken is Swayambhuva Manu. Like the first line of purport says, because of that Manu, even we get, mankind gets the name. Mankind comes from Manu, or in Sanskrit that's called Manushya. So the first line of purport. So Manu is appointed on instruction of Lord Brahma to rule over and establish principles for humans. And there is a book also, Manu Samhita, which is a rule book for how humans should operate in connection and in a way that they progress from wherever they are to a higher destination. Isn't it? Yeah, he is one of the Prajapati who is appointed to increase the population of humans. Yes. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Grantharashtra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.